Great. Well, the next matter is the Memorandum of Understanding between the FEC and the Department of Justice and the accompanying Federal Register notice. So let me start off by saying that this is a pretty big moment for our agency. Our current MOU with DOJ has not been updated since 1977, and it is important that we do all we can to strengthen this interagency relationship. Getting to this point took a lot of great work from a lot of great people. I first truly appreciate the efforts of Vice Chairman Cooksey and his staff and Commissioner Weintraub and her staff for their thoughtful and collaborative work that has gotten us to this point. And I want to recognize the FEC staff for this hard work to get this done. Those leading this effort are Lisa Stevenson, Charles Kitcher, Larry Calvert, Peter Blumberg, CJ Pavia, Jin Lee, Justine DiGiovanni, Richard Weiss, Nevin Stepanovich, Bob Knopp, Evan Christopher, Jessica Selenkoff, Greg Baker, Christine McLaren, Steve Hajar, and Kevin Dealey. And from the Department of Justice, I'd like to thank Assistant Attorney General Kenneth Polite, Robert Heberl, Sean Lorraine, and other DOJ staff who have supported these efforts. And I look forward to a strong and collaborative relationship moving forward. So thank you, everybody. It is nice when we get to acknowledge everybody for their really hard work. This is a good day for that. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to Mr. Kitcher and Mr. Stepanovich. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, especially for those very kind words to all the people who contributed to this effort. As you know, before you is a memorandum of understanding between the Commission and the Department of Justice. Also before you is a draft notice that would publish the text of the Memorandum of Understanding in the Federal Register. As recited in the document itself, the purpose of the MOU is to promote the enforcement of the federal campaign finance laws and to establish guidelines for the Commission and the Department to engage in parallel proceedings and share information in appropriate circumstances and otherwise properly advance missions of both agencies, subject to all relevant legal and ethical constraints and informed by the mutual respect and independence of each agency. As the chair alluded to earlier, the Commission and the Department of Justice entered into a MOU in December of 1977. The text of that document was published in the Federal Register in February of 1978. And today, some 45 years later, the Office of General Counsel is very pleased to recommend that the Commission approve this new MOU to be signed by the Acting General Counsel, as well as the notice to be signed under the signature of Chair Lindenbaum. We're available to answer any questions. We recommend that any questions about the notice come to Mr. Stepanovich and his team, and any questions about the MOU be directed to Ms. Stevenson and myself. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Stevenson, Mr. Sponovic, Mr. Kitcher, and the chair for bringing this. I agree with the chair. This is a big deal. This is a big event, I think, for the agency. As people have already said, the last MOU dates back to 1977. It is badly out of date. There's very little resemblance, I'll say, to what our agency's current dynamic has been with the Department of Justice. And in fact, the Department of Justice took the position over 20 years ago, I think, that the MOU itself is inoperable. And so the commission has been working for the last 20 years to try to get to an agreement with the department on a new MOU that better reflects our relationship. I believe attempts were made in 2003, in 2007, in 2012 to get to an agreement. The two agencies were unable to do so, but I think today is different, and maybe the today it's finally arrived. So with this new commission, as the chair said, I was working with Commissioner Weintraub on a sort of select subcommittee with our staff and with the leadership of the criminal division to try to work on a new MOU, and I'm very happy and proud to have done that. And I'm gonna support the MOU, and I'm going to explain why, and I think there are three particular features that were important to me that I want to highlight that I think make this a document worth supporting. The first is that I think this document is serving a very important transparency function. As I said, the old MOU does not really reflect the current state of affairs. And so to a large extent, what this new MOU is doing is not so much changing the dynamic between the FEC and DOJ, but it's actually codifying what's already been going on. And that serves an important transparency function, important notice function to the regulated community. So now everyone will be informed, everyone will be on notice about the extent to which the commission and the Department of Justice are cooperating and assisting each other in the enforcement of campaign finance laws. And I think that's a big improvement to our transparency mission and to the notice the regulated community has. The third thing that was very important to me in drafting this MOU is that I think the MOU very critically treats our agency and the Department of Justice as peers. It preserves all of the commission's prerogatives, the discretion of commissioners to decide when and how and under what circumstances we do cooperate or may not cooperate with the department. And it preserves the interests that both agencies have in pursuing their own jurisdiction and the enforcement of their either civil or criminal jurisdiction over campaign finance law. And so I'm really happy with the degree of independence that the FEC has retained and the authority that the commissioners are retaining in how this MOU is operated. The last thing I think is important is that I think the MOU is going to, it serves two important but dual purposes. The first is that I think it's going to make a big difference in the enforcement of campaign finance laws against what I would call the worst of the worst. The criminal, very serious, very aggravated violations, knowing and willful violations of campaign finance law that I think everyone would agree deserve criminal investigation and criminal prosecution. At the same time, the MOU also acknowledges, importantly, the risks and the problems and the constitutional dangers of the over-criminalization of campaign finance law. And it's very important to me that this MOU retains the acknowledgement from the 1977 MOU that it's really only the most aggravated and serious and substantial campaign finance violations that are appropriate for criminal prosecution, and that other violations are better and are better suited to civil enforcement. And I think that's a very important acknowledgement that both the department and the FEC are making through this MOU. So I want to thank Commissioner Weintraub for all the work we did with this. I really want to thank Charles Kitcher, who, look back, first emailed me about this about 2 years ago, and we exchanged some outlines of what I thought an MOU needed to say or would need to say. I certainly want to thank all the other staff that the chair mentioned, and Assistant Attorney General Paul Eat, and those in the criminal division. And so, you know, for all those reasons, I'm very excited to support this MOU today. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Traynor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to thank Commissioners Cooksey and Weintraub for taking on the task of negotiating this memorandum with the Department of Justice. And I know that was not an easy task and one that took considerable time. That said, I'd like to take a few minutes to outline for my colleagues and the American people what a dark day I believe this to be for our republic. Not since the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1789 has there been a more grievous affront to the First Amendment than what we have before us today. This memorandum of understanding is harmful to the free public discourse of ideas and the transparency mission of this agency in four significant ways. First, there's no statutory authority for the agency to enter into such an information sharing agreement with another executive branch agency. Second, this memorandum will significantly, and I believe irreparably, harm the level of candor between the entities that are regulated by the Federal Election Campaign Act and this agency. Third, I believe there are significant constitutional concerns that are implicated in this type of memorandum. And finally, as a matter of public policy, this memorandum of understanding is just another example of the recent move to criminalize the participation of the American people in the necessary open exchange of ideas, which is the foundation of our political system. As a threshold matter, we must always look to our limited statutory jurisdiction when we undertake any action, especially when it involves this independent agency sharing information and authority with an agency that is completely under the control of the chief executive. I firmly believe that the only statutory authority that this agency possesses to share information with the Department of Justice is found in 52 USC 30109A5C, wherein it states that, quote, if the commission by an affirmative vote of four of its members determines that there is probable cause to believe that a knowing and willful violation of FECA has occurred or is about to occur, it may refer such apparent violations to the Attorney General, end quote. Such probable cause findings, as you know, come towards the end of the administrative enforcement proceedings. Moreover, when the commission pauses an enforcement matter at the request of the Department of Justice, criminal defendants are denied access to certain statutory provisions that exist in FECA. Because in any criminal action brought for violations of FECA, a defendant may evidence their lack of knowledge or intent to commit the alleged violation by introducing as evidence a conciliation agreement entered into with the FEC. And the court, when assessing a penalty for such criminal actions, must consider the existence of a conciliation agreement. Unfortunately, the memorandum before us would allow the Department of Justice access to information before the commission has completed an administrative prosecution, could cut off access to conciliation agreement defenses and the controlling sentencing guidelines. Therefore, without specific statutory authority to enter into these type of agreements, we should stay within the scope of FECA and what it currently allows and the protections that are provided therein for those facing criminal prosecutions. Second, candor. Candor between the candidates, campaigns, committees, and other entities that we regulate is critical to the commission's mission of encouraging voluntary compliance with the law and providing transparency in campaign financing to the American people. For example, when the reports analysis division makes a request to a committee for more information to clarify a contribution or expenditure, we rely almost exclusively on the representations of that committee to help us clarify the public record. Moreover, those same committees rely upon our staff to be helpful when they cannot understand the rules and regulations that we have put in place. Now, as this memorandum envisions, those requests for additional information and the act of calling for assistance with our onerous regulations will be subject to disclosure to the Department of Justice at their request. How can we expect the regulated community to be forthright with us or seek our assistance when such actions can be used as the basis for criminal investigations? We cannot, and more importantly, we should not. Third, I believe there are constitutional infirmities with the information sharing arrangement espoused by the Memorandum of Understanding. The different forms used by the commission are woefully lacking in notice to those who complete those forms that such information may be shared with the Department of Justice to aid in the investigation of any crimes that they may commit while they're completing those forms. Callers to the reports analysis division are given no notice that our staff will be memorializing their conversations in notes of the call, which may at a future date be turned over to the Department of Justice, which may seek to use them as evidence of intent in criminal prosecutions. Additionally, this memorandum would allow for the sharing of information and investigative materials used by the staff in the prosecution of matters under review by the commission, and little, if any, disclosure of how that information will be transmitted to law enforcement is given in this process. All that is to say, there are Fifth and Sixth Amendment issues that are lurking within the memorandum's information sharing. Unfortunately, our counsel has been unable to provide an assessment of any liability that the commission might face should such constitutional claims arrive. We, as a commission, should be concerned with the upholding of our oaths to defend the Constitution by not potentially jeopardizing the rights of those who are brought under our jurisdiction. Finally, I'm concerned that this memorandum only exacerbates the growing trend in America to criminalize the participation of Americans in the political process. We have seen campaign finance reports used as a weapon to go after donors to candidates and causes, both criminally and civilly. The prosecutions create a chilling effect on the First Amendment rights of all citizens. We've seen the rise of calls for criminal prosecutions of political opponents. Over and above those government prosecutions, we see third-party groups using the complaint process of this agency to get press headlines that necessarily force criminal investigations. Those groups are looking to obtain the imprimatur of an FEC investigation as a means for calling forth a criminal witch hunt. Frankly, those groups have little concern for the administrative fines that could be imposed by the commission. In fact, over the past 5 years, the agency has been asked to abate our administrative proceedings approximately 40 times to allow the Department of Justice to pursue various investigations within their criminal jurisdiction. If this memorandum takes effect, the commission will continue to be enticed by the Department of Justice to stall investigating complaints while matters are battered around the DOJ. The campaign finance system will continue to be used to hunt down those who we disagree with politically, and the agency itself will continue to be a tool of those looking to harm their political and ideological opponents. Based on what I've laid out here, I will not be able to support this memorandum of understanding with the Department of Justice. It is my firm resolve that this memorandum is without statutory authority, inhibits a necessary level of candor for our system to function properly, has serious constitutional implications, and does nothing to quell the criminalization of political participation we are experiencing today. In fact, at least the people had fair notice of the criminal political acts under the Alien and Sedition Acts. Here, they will be required to comb through the Federal Register or our website to see exactly how we are going to share their information about their political activities with federal law enforcement. One can question whether at least having a written agreement with the Department of Justice in place is an improvement over the Commission's recent practice of considering these requests for abatement and documents in a black box. But unfortunately, the answer to that question is largely rendered moot by the defects in this new agreement. Accordingly, I plan to vote against the adoption of the Memorandum of Understanding. And Madam Chair, at the appropriate time, I would ask unanimous consent of my colleagues to have these remarks that I've made reduced to writing and placed in the minutes of the meeting. Thank you.
I think we might as well handle that now. Colleagues, do we have unanimous consent?
Yes.
We have unanimous consent.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you for the statement, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I look forward to supporting the adoption of this memorandum of understanding, which has taken a lot of people a long time to negotiate, and I think the agreement is a good one. I appreciate everybody's compliments, but I really cannot take a lot of credit for it, much as I would like to. I was happy to work with my colleague, the vice chairman, on our little ad hoc subcommittee on this, but I very much appreciate his engagement and his work on this. But I really have to give most of the credit to the staff, Mr. Kitcher and his staff in particular, who really did do the bulk of the work here, and very good work it was. And I also want to thank, I don't want to leave the impression that it was just the vice chairman and me who were engaged in this. The chair has been enthusiastically pushing us forward this year, as did the previous chair, Commissioner Dickerson, and the chair before that, Commissioner Broussard. I think most of my colleagues have been very engaged in this process and have been supportive of it. We are charged with civil enforcement of a body of laws. The Justice Department is charged with criminal enforcement of the same body of laws. And I think our ability to work together will enhance both of us in our in the discharge of our duties under the law and under the Constitution. And I'm really pleased with many features of this agreement. Of course, you know, I'm sure there will be, you know, times when we get into the details of particular matters where we'll have to work things out as we go. But I want to echo one of the important points that the vice chairman made, and that is that the Department of Justice has throughout these negotiations treated us as a peer, and that has not always been the case. I can tell you that, you know, there are various reasons why negotiations have faltered in the past. I don't want to say it was all one-sided. You know, there were things that were going on at the commission that made it harder to get to agreement in the past. But I think one key distinction this go-round that helped make this happen is there was a real commitment on the part of high-level people of the Department of Justice to get this deal done and to work with us in a fair way to accomplish that. The vice chairman and I had a meeting last year with some of the senior leaders on this project at DOJ, particularly AAG Ken Polite, and that was at their request. They asked to meet with commissioners, I cannot recall that having happened before. Rob Heberle, Sean Mulrine, Richard Pilger, who is now retired. You know, there's so many people at DOJ who were involved in the drafting and in the thoughts that went into this. And I really want to give the DOJ team a lot of credit for their interest and respectful the way they treated us. And, you know, we are a small agency with, you know, a fraction of their staff and resources. And I really appreciated the, as I said, the peer relationship that they seem to be encouraging, and that I think will ultimately benefit the American people in helping us, both agencies, to better enforce the laws. I think the American people want to see laws fairly and effectively enforced. And I think we can work together better to do that. And I think that we will. And this is, this I believe is, the beginning of a beautiful friendship going forward. Sorry, it's one of my favorite movies. So again, with great thanks to everyone at the table, and particularly our excellent staff for their excellent work on this. I look forward to supporting these documents. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Alex, any further discussion?
Madam Chair. Briefly, and I'm not going to repeat everything that's been said. Excellent work to the staff. Mr. Kitcher, you deserve all the praise you've been receiving. This has been a bipartisan priority going back to, at least to Chair Broussard. I'm grateful to my colleagues for getting across the finish line. I think it's a big deal, not merely because of the merits, but because this is another data point of the ability of the commission to accomplish things that may not have been obvious a few years ago. And I'm personally very proud of that. It's a pleasure to work with people who are committed to finding common ground where we can. I did have, one quick comment on the merits. Not gonna leave everyone in suspense. I do plan to vote for this. I suspect it'll be adopted. But the there's one aspect of this that I think bears note, and the vice chairman already said this, but I want to emphasize it. This sets up the relationship between us and a sister agency. It's been noted that DOJ is a sister agency. I've been known to quip that they may be true, but they treat us as a much younger sibling. This is an effort to sort of regularize that, but it doesn't change the statutory discretion and obligations the commission has to make case-by-case determinations. I share a number of the concerns that Commissioner Traynor has raised. I think I can think of worse First Amendment violations since the Alien and Sedition Acts, including the Federal Election Campaign Act before it was modified in the Buckley versus Valeo decision, by the way. The concern about the ways in which the commission abates enforcement matters are real and legitimate. But of course, that is something that we have some control over. The Department of Justice can request abatement. We grant it. The Department of Justice can request documents. Recommendations are made, but that is a decision made by the agency on a case-by-case basis and by votes of the commission. Respectfully, I do think there is merit to that concern, but I think it is an iterative process that will have to be dealt with case by case over time in the tried and true manner of the common law. And I have a great deal of faith that this crop of commissioners will be able to put some ballast into that ship. So with my thanks again to my colleagues, I look forward to bringing our relationship with the Department of Justice forward almost a half century.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will close this out with thanking my colleagues and adopting much of what all of my colleagues have said today. But I think one of the things that I want to highlight is what we have just heard is that we've all used phrases that we like. So I will say it is a reminder of a new day at the FEC, in the sense that we are working together bipartisan to get things accomplished. But I think the most important comment to close this out is to thank DOJ and to thank our staff. Mr. Kitcher sitting next to me, all the hours that were put in over the course of the last couple of years that may have felt that at times that it might not come to the result that we are today. So kudos to you. Your team, the names have been called out, but it never hurts to announce it again and again. Your work is greatly appreciated, and this will accomplish many positive things going forward for the agency. So thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Stevenson.
Okay, wonderful. Without any motions? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the Memorandum of Understanding between the Commission and the Department of Justice and accompanying Federal Register notice, I move approval of agenda document number 23-08-A.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion passes. The motion passes by a vote of 5-1 with the Vice Chair, Commissioner Dickerson, Weintraub, and Broussard, and myself in favor, and Commissioner Traynor opposed. Thank you all. I'm excited to sign this. And
wonderful. Lisa signs it.
I get to sign the Federal Register notice.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.